Freedom Beans, broadcasting from Pod Bay, sit and stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Randy?
I'm hearing you, Jeremy. I hope you can hear me all the way from down here in the Ozarks.
Oh, yes. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are here. How you doing tonight, Randy? Long time no talk.
Yeah. Well, I have not. It's been 3 weeks. I've been having some work done on my house. And every morning I turn me up a bit. All right. How's that?
Turn
Is that
it up,
better?
Randy.
How's that now? Am I good? Yeah, all right.
Live sound checks. That's what we do around here at the Freedom Fiends.
Yes. But I've been getting up every morning at about 7 o'clock with the sound of hammers and saws in my ears. And it's been kind of tough to stay up late enough to do the show, but it's over with. And so I'm back. And I'm really excited because in just what? Four more days, I think, is the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which I am getting to go to this year, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, I'm super excited, too, because I get to go this year.
Oh, you are?
Yes. Fantastic. It was finally determined within the last week that I'm actually going to be able to go. And as of today, I think it was finally decided, although it's still subject to change because my kids are about to turn 5, so their decision-making processes are not solidified yet. But as it looks right now, I'm going to be bringing one of the BIPTOTs with me and my murder dog. So, yeah, we're gonna head out late Thursday night after I finish work, and I'm going to drive as far as I can before I have to pass out for a while, and then get up and drive some more, and because I got about an 11-hour drive ahead of me to make it there.
More than me. I've only got about 9.5.
Huh.
So,
that's still
I'm looking
close.
Forward to it. You know, you're one of those people that these people, the fiend co-hosts that I talk to, and you talk to them, and eventually, you know, you consider them your friends, like you know them, and then you go somewhere to a live event, and you meet them. It's sort of weird meeting someone that you already know.
Yeah. Of course. It was, it was great, but also, yeah, definitely a little odd when I went to Porkfest and I got to meet Lou and Chandler and Nick and Derek and who else was up there? I know I'm going to forget somebody now. Oh, Hugo.
Yeah. Old friends that you just met. And that's kind of weird, but it's kind of fun, too. So, well, I'm looking forward to meeting you, Jeremy.
Yes, me too.
After knowing you this long. But, that's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm going to be getting there, I think, you know, Thursday night sometime myself. And going to have a good weekend. So if anybody hasn't got their plans solidified, you know, come to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's in at the Circle Pine Center in near Delton, Michigan, kind of central Michigan, kind of halfway between, I think, Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo, but not really anywhere near Chicago or Detroit, either one. So it's really kind of out in the boonies, really, but fun. It's a neat place. And mm-hmm. A lot of fun.
That's perfect for me. I've been stuck in the suburbs way too long. I prefer the boonies. I need to return there. Get back to my roots. Yeah, it should be a great time. You and a couple other people, I think, that I've known for people I've considered friends of mine, not even people I do shows with, that I've just talked to in through different mediums over 2 years now, and I'm finally getting an opportunity to meet some of them. So it's great. I love this kind of stuff. I wish I had done it more. But
all right, hey, you have an announcement that's for tomorrow morning or this morning from Steve Miller, don't you?
Yes, I do. Apparently Steve sent a message to all fiends worldwide. And let's see. For tomorrow, well, yeah, I guess later today, tomorrow, whenever you're listening to this, any fiends in the Philadelphia area who wish to come to Irish Times tomorrow can purchase wings with Bitcoin. 3 Bitcoin per wing. See the table with the Steve Miller flag. You should not be able to miss that one.
is that good? 3 Bitcoins per wing?
Well, considering the price of Bitcoin, I believe, was originally supposed to be set on Fiend's ads ads on the radio show and Yak Jerky, I'm not really sure, to tell you the truth. I myself have not been able to get any Bitcoin as of yet because the mining process was just not working for me today, and I'm too technologically illiterate to figure these things out on my own.
Okay, but if you did spend all day mining a Bitcoin and successfully got one, that would entitle you to 1/3 of a wing at at the Irish Times tomorrow in Philadelphia, though. So
this is true. Although, from what I do know about this process, at the beginning, it's quite easy to mine these things. So you should be able to collect, you know, more than enough for at least, I would have, at least a wing, maybe 2 in the first day. You know, that can't be too
easy for who? Because you didn't get one. I don't have one either. So.
Well, okay, somebody a little more technically savvy than myself, I suppose. Anybody who's not a computer idiot could probably have enough Bitcoin for at least a wing or 2 by now.
Okay, I'll take your word for that then.
Yeah. And there is a second part of this message. Steve also wanted to let everybody know that he and Lisa have started a fitness group on Facebook for motivation and encouragement, and it's called Lifterterians. Request membership and they will let you in. No status or finks allowed. So look for that on Facebook. Search Lifterterians and you will find the new fitness group by Lisa and Steve. I guess I will have to check that out, because Lord knows I could use a little more fitness in my life, which is sad because I walk for a living a lot of the time, and I still manage to get out of shape because I find ways out of walking, especially in the summer when it's just too darn hot to be walking anywhere.
I guess people still use the word fink. Is that right?
I honestly had not heard anybody use that word. And I think the last time I may have heard it was from that movie Barton Fink, but Steve. Oh, Merrick. Do we have a Merrick in the studio? Oh, hey, look at that. We have a guest who was supposed to be here at the top of the show.
Three's company, man. Hey, Merrick. We get to meet on the air in front of everybody.
Yeah, that's all right. This is... Yeah, well, my friend Merrick Van Landingham from the Radical Logic podcast was set to join us tonight, and unfortunately, Fiend, he got droned before the show even started, so now we have the Skype back up, which I think is working, but doesn't sound very good at the moment, unfortunately. You're breaking up a little bit there.
Oh, no. we can't do the hate crime, bad audio.
Maybe we'll have you call back in the break, and we'll try to work that out.
Okay, you guys talk, and I'll try to fix this.
Okay, well, we'll catch up with you in a little bit. So, yes. None of those people I've known for quite a while haven't actually got to meet in person, but I consider a very good friend of mine. There you go. Brings us back full circle to the beginning of the conversation. That was weird. He just popped in all of a sudden.
There was also a message that Michael passed on, and he said that Steve Miller had all. He was the first message, but he had written to Michael congratulating him and saying happy Bitcoin launch, and said your grandchildren will ask you where you were this day. Ha ha! Just kidding. Humanity probably won't live out the decade, LOL. And Michael, you can't say something like that to Michael. He's going to have some response. And Michael asked me to convey his thanks. But he said that he'd had a vision today of how he will die. And it won't be the lung issues. He intends that he will live to a cranky, coughing, one lung ripe old age, and then at exactly that the age that Selby died. What is Selby? Some punk singer or something?
No. Okay. Hubert Selby Jr., the guy who, what is he, the last exit to Brooklyn? That was his...
Okay. You know, that's kind of dumb because there's no punk rocker that would be 75 yet, is there? Well, Iggy Pop, how old is he? I don't know.
He's got to be closing in there.
Yeah, you know, that was the first band that I ever heard, professional big band I ever heard play in 1969. I went and saw Iggy Pop and the Stooges. They were the lead-in band to the band that did In a Gotta Da Vida, Iron Butterfly.
Oh.
That was wild. They were like a two-hit wonder, but... Well, at the exact age that Selby died, age 75, Michael is going to trip over a black cat in the dark, fall down the stairs, and died. He said, "I will have just taken a shower, and I won't have my cell 411. I've fallen, and I can't get up, one button fob around my neck. After about 36 hours, the cats will eat me." That concludes Michael's prophecy and message for the evening.
Well, that's very specific. I guess he's suggesting he's going to die at the same age as Selby, so 75, so that means he's got another 23 years. So I guess we can safely assume it most likely won't be Beast that kills him, since Beast would have to be 24.
It'll probably be a couple cats down the road, yes.
Yeah.
The lucky cat.
That's just, well, hey, if you gotta, you know, at least he went out doing something he loved, I guess. I don't know. Went out by something. He got taken out by something he loved. I don't know. How do we make that work in this situation?
I mean, who doesn't like to take a shower? I mean, you get out of the shower and fall down and die. You know, anyone could say he did die doing something that he loved or whatever. I don't know. Cell 411, though. By then you'll be able to access that just by an implant of some kind. So
yeah, or just or even thinking it at that point.
Yeah, that's right. You'll just. I mean, they have to get there within 36 hours. It'll work out. Michael, please reconsider.
I don't think you thought that through.
Yes. Well, we're going to be back very soon, but we've got a break coming up, and maybe we'll have
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
So we are back, Freedom Fiends, and I think we finally have my buddy Merrick back. Merrick, are you there? Oh no, did we lose him again?
he was really here. He was, and don't know what happened.
We had him all the way through the break, and he just disappeared again.
Yeah, and he was wall to wall. He was right in there. Heard him. Wasn't breaking up. It was a beautiful thing.
I guess it's just not meant to be. Well, as I tried to explain to him before the show, this is like a rite of passage. Something has to go wrong during your first, at least one of your first forays here. At least it seems that way to me. I mean, my very first show, I was on with Lou, and he got droned, I think, like 10 minutes into the show. And I was left alone for like 3 or 4 minutes.
On your first show, completely left alone. That was good. Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't even officially a fiend. I was just hanging out with Lou one night. And yeah, that was my introduction to radio. So, he did get to say hi at one point. So I think we'll see what happens during the next break. But
yeah. So Merrick says hi if we don't hear from him again. We probably will, though. The night is young.
Yes, it still is. But Well, I guess we'll move along then. One of the reasons I wanted to have Merrick on was one of the topics I wanted to talk about tonight was this article, which actually may be the only topic we talk about once you and I get going on this. But there was an article on FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education, which is a lovely website. I suggest everybody who hasn't go check it out because they got some really great stuff going on over there. And the title of this article was Taiwan's Social Safety Net is the Street Market. And it goes on to talk about how in Taiwan, the government has actually relaxed or just gotten rid of a bunch of the regulations, or they're just not enforcing them anymore. And this entire new market has like literally popped up in the streets. And as I said, I wanted to have Merrick on because he was actually there recently, I think within the last year or so, and he got to see this firsthand. And it's incredible because it's not just a matter of people starting their own little, you know, everybody has these little, little kiosks basically. Okay. That they have these little kiosks that they can set up. And I think there's one place that's actually selling them for like, I think it's like $50. You can go get one of these things, and then when you're done with it, you can return it and get some of it back, you know, because I think it's only a deposit. And not only are they setting these things up where, you know, they're selling different types of food or t-shirts or handbags or whatever it is, but it's an all-day thing, and people work in shifts. So like the farmers come in at 5 a.m. or, you know, set up at like 4 a.m. and get going from like 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And they're, you know, selling all the fresh produce and stuff like that. And then starting at 7 a.m., they roll out and a whole new crew of people rolls in with their own little setups. And they do breakfast and they start selling things. And they work, you know, they go on for 3 or 4 hours and then they leave. And then another group comes in and then they sell stuff all afternoon and different types of food. And this goes on literally all day, all night long. The thing is running. It talks about how there's people in the streets until, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, just hanging out, having a good time with like little impromptu cafes that get set up and stuff like this. And on top of everything else, in between all of these changeovers, there's crews that are making money by going in and cleaning everything up so it's nice and tidy for the next group of people to come in and set up, because everybody's willing to chip in for this service because they all benefit from it. And it's amazing. Government stepped out of the way, and not only did the world not collapse, they're thriving.
Yeah, and the thing that was interesting also about it was that, you know, you were saying people coming in, they're coming in with their carts and things like that. I mean, you might just be there at the mealtime, and then when it was over, your cart, you scoot on out, and the next person comes in and starts selling their shoes and that. And I think the prices were just unbelievable. I was just looking, there's one, let me just read this, because laissez-faire allows a robust market to develop. Street food in Taiwan is safe, delicious, and ridiculously cheap. We pay between $1.50 and $2 for a full meal in a country where overall costs are half the U.S. level. So adjusting for price levels, that would be, you know, maybe we'll pay $3 or $4 for what would cost 3 to 5 times that in the U.S. And he's this guy that wrote this says, my family, we don't eat out once a week like we did in the States. We eat out 2 or 3 times a day because it's so cheap.
Fantastic.
Worms. You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Freedom Fiends. So we're back. Hey, Demeric, did you make it back to the break this time?
So, some of you are back. Some of us are just getting to the party. So,
yes. Hey, Merrick.
I am here.
All right. So,
who is Merrick again? I've forgotten.
Yes. Let's so take three with this. This is a good buddy of mine, Merrick Van Landingham, who is one of the co-hosts of the Radical Logic podcast, which actually airs on my little network, the Seeds of Liberty Network, as among other places. And he is also a Fiend fan, so I figured when no other Fiends were available, I said, who can I get to come on? Little did I know it would be this difficult to actually get you on. So yeah. Make it worth it, brother.
Yeah, Merrick, what do you like to cover on the Radical Logic podcast?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
That was the wrong question to ask him, Randy.
Oh, no. Gee. Well,
I can answer that for him. Yeah, poor Merrick. Anyway, he does a podcast with his friend Jonathan that they cover a pretty broad range of topics, but they get really in depth with it. Like last one was all about policing and stuff like that, and they actually put a couple of weeks worth of research into each one because they run down statistics and talk
so
about.
So it's really nothing like the Freedom Fiends.
Absolutely nothing like the Freedom Fiends. Nothing like the Seeds of Liberty podcast either. You know,
Freedom Fiends are about, we're about 1 inch deep and 1 inch wide. It's just, so.
Yeah. That's not, right. Well, sometimes we get into some serious stuff, but you know, with a tagline like laughing while Western civilization collapses, you know, what do you expect us to be? Hard-hitting journalists? You know.
Well, you were beginning to hit hard before the last break.
Yes.
And there was an article that you had found that we hoped that Merrick would have something to contribute to, because he had been to Taiwan. Is that,
yeah,
is that
he's,
right?
he spent some time in Taiwan for over the last year, and at some point over the last year, and he as soon as I posted this article yesterday or the day before, he commented on it and said, you know, said that he's like, oh, I got to see this firsthand and it was amazing, and I was like, great. Perfect opportunity to talk about it. But yeah, it's this was the article from fee.org, and it's all about Taiwan and the street market that has popped up. And the last thing we were talking about before we went to the last break was you were talking about the, you know, ridiculously cheap prices of food. And the follow-up to that is, you know, why is it so cheap? And it's because the market is left to self-regulate, so there's no bureaucracy getting in the way. There's no ridiculous government regulations that add fee upon top of fee on every level of the process, which naturally causes the price to go up. And you know, even so far as the, you know, what people always worry about, oh, without government regulations, you know, people would just be selling this dirty food and killing people left and right. Of course, they never bother to think that, well, if they're killing all their customers, who's gonna keep buying from them?
You know, this article, it's kind of put in a sort of a way that, you know, makes it sound like maybe it's, I guess it's new to us, but really street vending is an old thing. And even in the United States, it was traditionally, if you went back, you know, 100 years and more than that, immigrants, minorities have, you know, traditionally have been able to support themselves when there's nobody would even give them a job by going into business for their own. And I think in the article it said, you know, not not only can, you know, somebody get a cheap meal there that's really good food and plenty of it, but in the article it said a Taiwanese friend announced that he'd lost his job. And his friend's first question was, what kind of shop will you open during your job hunt? Since it's so easy to start a pocket business, there's an entire industry that caters to them. You can lose your job, take the bus, rent a food stand for a month, pay $50 to slap on some signage, and have it delivered to some high traffic spot and get cranking that night on your fried Twinkies, sausage buns, or whatever you think people might want to eat at that time. And as soon as you, if you would find a better opportunity or a job you want to take, you just send the stand back, get your deposit back, and it's done. And you were a business person for a month, maybe.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. You know, entrepreneurship running rampant.
Yeah, but the trouble is that even though in this country, in the United States, it used to be like that, you know, it could still be. The whole idea with a, you know, really low startup costs and that is what's so nice, because nobody needs to be unemployed. And it the restrictions, the problems that you have is so many cities, they're catering to their brick and mortar restaurants and other businesses. And so they put all these restrictions in place. They restrict, you know, the places where the vendors can operate. They keep them off the public streets, or they keep them away from the more profitable areas and only let them go to places where nobody cares. They won't let them go anywhere near a brick and mortar business that's selling, you know, the same sorts of things. Or if you've got a truck or something, they'll make it against the law for you to stop and park unless you're actually flagged down by a customer who's waving at you to get you to stop. Maybe that's how the ice cream trucks get around it, because kids run out and wave at it and they have the noise and everything. Or they'll have regulations that say they're only allowed to sit in one spot for a certain period of time, and then they have to move on. And everything is just designed to stop somebody who could provide a job for themselves and not depend on anyone else. I think it's mostly to help the more tax-paying businesses, that if you're on a lot that pays taxes and that sort of thing, you're worth a lot more to the local government than some guy, you know, with a hot dog stand.
Oh, absolutely. And there and those people in those lot stores and stuff like that are also more prone to demand regulations and stuff to prevent these people, because they also don't want the competition on top of everything else. That, you know, that happens a lot of the times too. A lot of the lobbying groups that get these different regulations and stuff put in place usually have something to do with the businesses that are trying to stifle the competition.
Well, and another thing that isn't fair is that there are certain areas where businesses, you know, may not even want to move into, and those areas really are underserved, you know, for whatever service this is. But if people can move in temporarily, bring in stands and businesses, they can provide services that maybe you won't be able to get in this poor area otherwise. But I think they've had studies that show, and I think this article says the same thing, that the streets are safer when you have lots of vendors and people walking around and talking and buying things, that you do not have the kind of crime that you have on, you know, lonelier streets. You have a more, you know, vibrant neighborhood, and it's really a good thing. I think that people are, I mean, the businesses, I guess they say that it's not fair to them, because the big businesses have a large overhead. You know, they have seating, and the guy with the hot dog stand doesn't have seating and that sort of thing, and that they complain that their costs are so high it isn't fair to compete. But I think the shoe could be on the other foot in a way, because it's not fair to the hot dog stand, because the street vendor, he can't have a big menu like the full service restaurant has. He doesn't have any place for customers to sit. And of course, if it's windy, the napkins blow away, and rain and cold and all of that. I I don't think you can compare that, that it's unfair to anybody. And if it's not unfair to anybody, then why would, what reason could you have to favor one guy over another, except that the one guy is you know, padding your pocket with tax dollars, and the other one is probably not contributing nearly the dollars that that you're getting. I don't know, but there's most of it is the same with every kind of government monopoly or licensing. It's designed to favor one group of people and to hold another one down that would compete against the group that's getting the favor.
Yeah, exactly. It's, that's how the system works, which is why I don't understand why so many people get so confused when, you know, I use terms like fascism to describe what goes on, because that's usually how it works out. It's the bigger companies that get that, that get that way because they get that, they get, they're the ones getting the favorable regulations and stuff like that, and then they turn around and ask for more and more regulations to help snuff out the competition in any way they can. And, you know, because, I mean, at least especially here, those vendors that are allowed, quote unquote, allowed to get away with stuff on the street often don't pay any taxes. So it's not a matter of making, you know, padding the pockets less. It's not, they're not padding it at all. So they are definitely, they're completely worthless, which
which is fine.
Well, yeah.
Fine with me.
Oh, of course. But that actually surprises me that they still get, they still let people get, I don't know what they do in New York City, but there are still street vendors that get away. I mean, I know the hot dog stands and all that stuff are now regulated beyond belief, and it's so insane. But the people who, there's still people who set up shop and sell, like, you know, handbags and stuff on different street corners. And I don't know how they regulate all those people, but...
Well, part of it, I'm sure it's impractical to regulate everyone as closely as they would like to, but there's plenty of people that are harassed, you know, to the roof and that sort of thing. And it isn't just street vendors. The article that we were looking at was about street vendors, but you have the same kind of problems with home-based businesses, which are really great thing, because once again, you have this extremely low startup cost. A person who has a home, if they have a computer, that may be the entire capital expenditure they need for some businesses. But then the government comes in and they have rules that say, you know, you can't have anybody working in that business that doesn't live in that house, something like that. Or you could only have two customers show up there at a time, or no more than 10 people a day can come and go. It's things like that.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
The Freedom Fiends are back. Back from the market. The slightly free, but not completely free market. And we were talking about street vending before the break, and then I think we'd gotten into home-based businesses. And I think that I've read that over half of all small businesses are based in the home. And it's really huge. I think that you Jeremy, you said that you have a business that's based in the home. I have a business that's based in the home. I'm an attorney. I have an office that I share with a couple other attorneys, and the only thing I do there is meet with clients. And the only time I'm ever there is when I meet with a client, and that's not that often, considering I'm a criminal defense attorney. Half my clients are sitting in a jail cell awaiting trial when I talk to them. So I don't meet that many clients. I have a home office, and almost everything, you know, that I do that's office related is out of my home.
Fiend phone.
This is the Fiend Phone. Unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency service.
Or who is furries. This guy? What?
Are you guys like making love in a field? I hear crickets or something, man.
It's my cheering section, Michael.
No. That's me. That's me. My window is open.
Jeremy's had it for days.
He's been yelling at me for weeks now about this. I have crickets and cicadas going in rhythm.
I love my crickets.
You know, here's an unpopular anarchist opinion. I'm going to walk around with a sign in Levittown, New York that says, legalize DDT for good audio. And I know there's a lot of people who want to legalize DDT because they say that outlawing it caused a lot more malaria. I don't care about that. Well, I do, but I care more about good audio because it affects me. So I think we should just like have a plane come by every night before the show and just do a sweep of Jeremy's house and just spray powder all over it.
Well, once it gets a little bit cooler, I'll be able to do the show with the windows closed. Otherwise, I may pass out in here. So we just have to deal, man.
Meanwhile, you can call the show Michael Dean and the Crickets.
Michael Dean after Crickets. I like that. It's my band, the Crickets. Wasn't there a band called the Crickets?
Buddy Holly's band.
Yeah.
And it was named that because their recordings contained a cricket. Yes.
Yeah. You know, whereas Led Zeppelin's recordings contain I think it's the first record, you can hear like they didn't oil the bass drum pedal. Like you can hear it squeaking.
I never caught that. Never listened to that.
How much Bitcoin do you guys have?
None, Michael. I can't get my...
How about you, Randy?
Me? I tried to get some. I probably mined it for 6-7 hours. Got BIP, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, I did the same.
What happened was we did the world's shortest pre-mine, which I'm going to explain in the next segment. And it was like 0.1% of the total we mined before sharing it publicly. And the difficulty was at like 30,000. And then people got on and just a bunch of people, like more than we thought, got on there. And all of a sudden the difficulty went up to 3 million, which is doable. I mean, Bitcoin is still mined and its difficulty is 300 billion. But this coin has been surprisingly popular for having... We launched 24 hours ago in like 5 minutes from now. And somebody actually already built a mining pool, which is what you people with little computers are going to have to do. You're going to have to join that mining pool to
because it's useless to mine on your own, right?
To solo mine at this point. It was not useless for the 2 days of pre-mining we did. But yeah, I have 6,000 Bitcoin, man. But that's me.
Awesome.
I'm not just a client, I'm a user. I'm a user. It is great to be the king. Well, the king is three people. It's myself and Ryan Gordon and Derek Slopey. We all have 6,000 Bitcoin. We're not giving it up. Pry it out of your cold, dead hands. So what happened to our friend? He got droned?
Yeah. About
4 times, yeah.
Yeah. Just couldn't get it to work.
I was out and about, and I heard on my phone. Was he on at the very beginning? Did he get droned?
He was on at every break, actually. We talked to him quite a bit, and nobody got to hear Mary.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. Where can people find him? Where's he going to hear him?
Radical Logic Podcast at the Seeds of Liberty.
Hi. Have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to bipcoin.org. That's bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, a symposium of unsupervised sounds that caress your freedom fiend bone. I'm Randy England, and co-host Jeremy Hengler is with us, and also we're honored to have the Bip Lord, Michael W. Dean,
Bip Lord,
with us in this second hour. And we have hacked into the government subspace mind control to beam our pirate signal of protest directly to your frontal lobes. So go ahead and lose the tinfoil hats and know that you are free. Hello, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hello.
You all sound great. It's 4x4. And I hope I didn't presume too much giving you the title Bip Lord, but it just seems so appropriate.
I'll take it. I like
it. In every way. And there is the new Bip thing, right?
Yeah, the new Bip thing. And we're kind of burying the lead here. So there's a new cryptocurrency that me and two other guys and I created. And I got to correct that because – did I correct it correctly? Was the second one right? I never get that one right. Me, I, whatever. Derek J is such a like Republican sometimes. Derek J actually like, I sent out an email recently, like, you know, at 4 a.m, like, hey, we need a host tomorrow. We only have one. We only want to be a co-host. Like, Jeremy and me want, you know, and I said Jeremy and me. Derek J actually had the audacity to send me a grammar Nazi, like, email explaining, you know, Michael, it's Jeremy and I. And he said, you know, you can tell because if you take out Jeremy, I'm like, I don't even know if that was correct in that term because I think it was the other thing. But I don't know. You don't correct me on my English, man. I know more than you. I write books. And I've dealt with editors my whole life. And, you know, sometimes you just want to speak the way people talk, write the way people speak. And sometimes it's just 4 a.m. and you're multitasking and don't want to be, you know, spanked by Derek J.
I'm sure that Derek J did it out of love.
Okay, I'm just pulling his chain.
Well, wait a minute. Was that seemed to be implying that there's other times that you would be okay with being spanked by Derek J. Was I hearing you right?
Is he the one that said straight speech is hate speech?
Yeah. I think I'd have to put him in a dress and girl him up a bit and be really drunk or high. And it would have to be 20 years ago. Okay, so anyway, we're really bearing the lead of Bipcoin. So there's this new currency, not Bitcoin. It's called Bipcoin. And I came up with the idea, and Derek Slopey, I almost said Derek J. No. Derek J is the naughty English professor. Derek Slopey,
naughty English professor.
Programmer of Fiend Phone. Brian Gordon and Derek Slopey did the heavy lifting with the zeros and ones and occasionally a two. We actually did run into Bender's Nightmare doing this. And Bipcoin rocks. It's been released. You can go find it at bipcoin.org. That's not Bitcoin. It's Bip. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org. And yeah, so ask me questions about it. This is the first interview about Bitcoin, other than the fact that I got to say, I've been joking about Bitcoin. It started as a joke, and then I got kind of serious about it, but I was still talking about it. Like, people like Steve Miller were still joking about it. And then, like, I didn't talk about it for about a week while we were building it, or 2 weeks while we were building it. And then it went into crunch time where I was sleeping like 5 hours a night the last week. And we released it to the world last night. And like crap loads of people are mining it. And like one of the things on our to-do list was to make a mining pool, like, you know, within the next 2 or 3 weeks. And some guy just said, hey, I run mining pools. I like new coins. Your new coin sounds cool. I made a mining pool. Here, check it out. So what a mining pool is, too, is like when mining, you know, with your computer, making a cryptocurrency, when the difficulty gets too hard to do it easily on a single computer, or even if you have a lot of computers, when it gets really difficult, with like with Bitcoin, like you could have a really powerful Bitcoin mining ring at this point and like mine for weeks and not get any Bitcoin. You could mine for a year and not get any Bitcoin. But so what it is, like, it's kind of the luck of the draw when everybody's putting all their hashing power, it's called, together on this problem of finding new coins. And a mining pool, it sounds kind of commie when you explain it, but it's more like an agorist worker-owned business where people share evenly based on how much time they put in, whereas one person couldn't do the business alone. I mean, that's the easiest explanation.
It's a BIP collective.
Yeah.
And a question I think that everyone probably wants to know before you go on is this covered by the BIP COT, no government license?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the only cryptocurrency. There are over 1,000 cryptocurrencies in the world, and this one is the only one. They should all be covered. I mean, basically, especially ones that are of the crypto note variety, which this one is, which there's probably about 10 of them out of the like 1,000 coins there are. There's like 10 of them. It's funny too, because there's a website made by the Crypto Note Foundation that's like, make your own coin in 10 minutes. And it's like, they're lying intentionally, I think. It's because there's actually mistakes in it, and I think they're intentional. And I think I think that's the reason there aren't 10,000 crypto note coins. I think the reason there's only 10 of them is because people have to find the mistakes, and then they keep that close to their chest because they don't want to have 1,000 of them. Yeah, but I really think they put like 4 or 5 mistakes in intentionally to weed out people who don't deserve to do one.
And then you don't deserve the coin.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
not very, very voluntary of them, is it?
Yeah, it is. They made it. They're giving it away. You know.
I guess.
I mean, and also like, but here's my thing: like, crypto note coins, including Bitcoin, are dark by default. Like, you know how with Bitcoin, like, it's what's called pseudo-anonymous. Like, you know, you could make a transaction from, you know, you to Derek J, and, like, you know, it's not like a credit card thing where it's got your names and addresses attached to it. It's got at least IP addresses attached to it, but you could use a VPN with Bitcoin. But still, like, by running a bunch of things through government computers, they can kind of see patterns and figure out, like, for the most part, with fair certainty, like, this address belongs to this person, this address belongs to this person. With Bitcoin, that is impossible, because Bitcoin, you can't go on the blockchain and say definitively this person conducted with this person, because it generates a throwaway address for every transaction. So the addresses on the blockchain are not the address it was sent to and from. It's kind of like as if Cody Wilson's dark wallet for Bitcoin, which works, but it's kind of hard and sometimes it doesn't work. But it's like, it's as if Bitcoin had that by default and it was so behind the scenes that you didn't have to think about it. It's very cool.
I like that.
Yep.
What if Ross Ulbricht had had that?
We wouldn't know his name.
That's most likely true. Yeah. It'd be a really good thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically, funny. If, you know, if Bitcoin had to have that, the state probably would have dissolved by now. But it's like Bitcoin is such the, like, 10 billion pound gorilla in the room that every altcoin, every coin besides Bitcoin is an altcoin. Every altcoin is like way third, fourth, fifth fiddle to it. I was going to explain about the pre-mine thing. So it's generally considered good practice not to pre-mine a coin. Like, you do all the testing on a testnet version of the coin that isn't the actual blockchain. Then you create the blockchain. Then you, you know, like, even announce it ahead of time, like, at midnight Berlin time on this date, 3 days from now, look, you know, here's the IP addresses, start your mining engines. And that's considered a fair launch. And then there's launches where, like, that are pretty also considered fair launches, more or less, where, like, you say, you know, and you have to, like, you have to announce it on BitcoinTalk.org. Like, that's the de facto place. So someone actually that I know, like, announced their coin on their blog, and then a month later, after he'd mined like three quarters of it, announced it on Bitcoin Talk and said, there's no pre-mine. I announced it, but it was, you know, everyone said that's pre-mine. So most coins don't have a pre-mine, and most that do, it's considered not sleazy, but kind of like, who would want to be involved in that coin? Like, all the, you know, like, if there's only 20% of the coin left or 40% left, and that's really difficult, and somebody mined the 60% when it was easy and put it in their pocket, what's the incentive for people to spend the mining work to, like, make the other 40%? So, but we actually had a pre-mine that consisted of 2 days of three of us mining on normal computers that worked out to 0.1% of the total coin. And I am pretty sure it's the smallest pre-mine in history. And I said that, and one smartass was like, oh, except for Bitcoin. And it's like, okay, but that's kind of in a whole different category because there's nothing to compare it to. There were no, like, unspoken rules of pre-mines. And the pre-mine of Bitcoin, which was smaller percentage-wise than the pre-mine of Bitcoin, is actually, like, first of all, it's worth $50 billion. Second of all, it's never been touched. You know, which is why some people say that they believe that Satoshi is dead, because it's never been touched. It's like 50 the first blocks of it.
How much is the pre-mine for Bitcoin worth?
Bitcoin, it's some double-digit million dollars worth.
Well, oh, yeah. Okay. And if your pre-mine, which was what, 18?
What, 18,000, give or take.
18,000. If it went to 1,000, that'd be $18 million, right?
It's not 1,000 now. It's like 500 or 600. But yeah, if it were, if Bitcoin were Bitcoin, Derek and Brian and I would be building a rocket to Alpha Centauri right now.
Well, it's still early.
Yeah, it is. So, go to Bitcoin. Yeah, one more question. We'll have 10
just
more.
Just a little something. Ahead. Just a little something, you know, for your efforts. Somebody had to work on this.
Yeah, I mean, I also spent like $500 so far on, like, renting servers and, you know, doing a whole bunch of stuff. I had to do renting.
Yeah, and it may not. And, you know, it may take off. Stickers. May not. It's fair. I don't. That's such an insignificant amount that I don't see why it would matter. It wouldn't matter to me.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of a conversation piece at this point. It doesn't matter to anybody in it. If it does, they're jerks who don't understand a pre-mine.
Now everyone understands it. Yes, now they do.
We'll be back. Think of your questions and email them to us about Bitcoin.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
We're back.
So, Eeyore.
Yes, I'm here, Michael.
Or what does it matter
anyway? So we were talking Bitcoin before the break.
Yeah, and it's the new cryptocurrency from the Beastlick. What is it? Beastlick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, or BIPCOT.
Yes.
You know, that's what BIPCOT licensed its name, right? Which was, yes. It was me and Derek, and now it's me and Derek and Brian, I guess. Yep.
Cool.
We've drafted him. Yeah. So,
and the reason that it's Beastlick is because you're not allowed to say bum something.
Bum F Egypt. Right? I live in Beastlick, Wyoming. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Hey, I have a question.
Here's something that's really cool, though. The cat, BIPCAT, who is the he is to Bitcoin what the Doge Dog is to Dogecoin. And I gotta say, like, those comparisons are coming up already, and I'll take it. Because I kinda want Bitcoin to be the Dogecoin of dark currencies. Because there are dark currencies, and like one or two of them are kind of they're worth money to mine and sell, but they're not used much. They're kind of like every cryptocurrency except Bitcoin, the value is almost entirely speculation-based. Bitcoin, it's still speculation-based somewhat, but it's actually also large. It's used a lot in commerce, an incredible amount, like millions per day, millions of dollars worth per day. But, there aren't really any fun, dark by default cryptocurrencies, and that's why I think that Bitcoin could be that one. But BIPCAT, the cat that is on the logo for Bitcoin, actually loves to lick people to the point of annoyance. So he is a beast lick beast. All right. Yes, Randy, you had a question, sir?
Has anyone spent or bought anything with Bitcoin?
I sold some Bitcoin for Bitcoin today.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It wasn't much. It was, and I won't do it again. It was just somebody really wanted some and didn't want to wait to mine some. So of the 18,000 that we've mined, 15,000 of it goes to us. Like, each of us have 5,000 to do with as we please. And what we decided is, but 1,000 each are in a pool to be used for the project. Like, if we need to hire a programmer to make an Android wallet or something, you know, for bounties and for, you know, anything like paying the guards to get it into LibPair, things like that. So, and yeah, that's what you can use it for. Really, it's going to be the currency to bribe the guards to get out of the post-apocalyptic world that either of the two presidential choices are going to lead us to within 4 years. And then we will escape on the plane, on the rocket ship to, you know, the whole thing, Alpha Centauri, all that. So, yeah, somebody really wanted some. It was somebody who could help us with something. So I sold him some. I sold him like, I sold him 100 Bitcoin for like 75 cents worth of Bitcoin. And I'll never do that again. I think I was underselling it even for day one, that it has no valuation and it's not yet on in any exchanges. But I just wanted to, you know, help this person. So,
and get some out there. Get them going out there.
And I did do some, like, you know, when people set up wallets and stuff, like, I've been doing what's called a faucet. With Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, there are faucets to get people to adopt it, where, like, you know, you can log on and solve a little puzzle in 10 seconds, and you get, like, you know, a thousandth of a penny worth of the coin. And we're going to set that up eventually, but there's a lot of other things that are far more important right now, software-wise. Because you have to understand that releasing your cryptocurrency is building a whole network. It's building a whole ecosystem. It's not just the coin. You know, it's the wallets for Windows and Linux, at least. It's the, you know, the GUI wallets, the ones with the visual interface. It's the command line interface ones you can mine easily with. It's the seed nodes. It's, you know, like people setting up services like faucets and or us setting them up you know, mining pools. Next thing we need to do is Derek's going to finish the Windows wallet, the Windows GUI wallet, probably this weekend. And we need to get a block explorer. We need to either get on one or build one. Although the faucet actually has some of the information you'd have on a block explorer. It has the difficulty rate, which is difficult, far more difficult to calculate than with Bitcoin, because with Bitcoin, you know, it halves every certain amount of time, and with Bipcoin, it's a, you know, steady increase. So it's like deep math to figure it out for any given block, other than to look at, you know, anyway, that's a long story. But yeah, so we have to, like, there has to be an ecosystem of products and services for Bitcoin to be successful.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT. .org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
So we left off. You were not finished answering Randy's question.
Yeah. Darn free market getting in the way of my free market coin.
What was my question? I ask you if you had anybody had bought anything with them, and you had said that, you know, it's not quite that satisfying to hear that someone bought a fake coin with a fake coin, right?
You know, right. I mean, well, they're not fake, but...
When are you going to buy a pizza?
Well, Ben Stone offered to do that today with somebody, but actually, somebody tried to buy ad space, which is one of the things I'm offering on the Freedom Fiends, but the ad he wanted to play, there were two, and I couldn't play either of them. The first one was like semi-obscene, like would get us kicked off. You know, like might not be an FCC violation, but I forget what it was, but it would have got us kicked off of a station or two. So I won't do it. And the second one, it was the first one. Like, and I said, like, I wouldn't even play this on the podcast. Later he said he might want to do a gambling one just on the podcast. I would do that, but I hear you breathing, Randy. But the ad he wanted to play was like, it was kind of like our cat muff ad or the voting one. Like it was, or is you're trying to comply us in. It was that kind of ad. It was like a skit and it was advertising his podcast, but it actually was in the form of a fake ad that was really well produced for a fake onion Tor router site, kind of like the Silk Road. But it sounded so real. I'm not going to take, you know, an ad in dark currency for a dark underground fake web, fake like buy drugs and illegal weapons over the internet site. I just wouldn't do it. I'm too smart.
Oh, I was going to say, doesn't that seem like the perfect thing to buy with it?
That's kind of what he said. He kind of called me a pussy. He was kind of like, well, you know, what are you going to take with your dark coin if not something like that? And I'm like, what other people do with it is, and here's that phrase again, what other people do with it is none of my business. But I'm not gonna.
That's none of my business.
I'm not gonna put an ad on there that's gonna get some like local sheriff going, wait, what's he running out of his house? You know, I'm not gonna do it.
Oh no,
Michael, you're already in so deep. You're an accomplice. You're an accomplice.
I'm an unindicted co-conspirator.
Uh-oh. After the show, we can talk about what's required for accomplice liability. But Yeah,
I'm not it.
The Biblical.
No, because this dark currency is not for breaking the law. I don't know. It's for buying ads on the Freedom Fiends and buying stickers and buttons, man. So
maybe you should have a picture taken of you wearing a white hat or something to dispel that.
That'll work. Yeah. Oh, so I didn't. We went to the ad. I didn't finish what I was saying. Was that because the darn free market got in the way? One of the things that I was doing with it too, that I gave away like 5 or 10 coins worth, was basically like somebody couldn't yet figure out how to mine it, even yesterday or this morning when it was easier to mine. And, but they got the wallet installed and working. And what I would do is like you know, I would send them like 0.2 Bitcoin and say, send me back 1.1 Bitcoin. So in that transaction, I'm out 0.1002 Bitcoin, because the minimum transaction fee is a thousandth of a Bitcoin. Oh, and the smallest unit of a Bitcoin is four zeros smaller than a Satoshi, which is the smallest divisible amount of Bitcoin. The smallest amount of Bitcoin is called a squitten, after the mythical squirrel kitten crossbreed. Yeah. You ever do any sitting? You ever babysit squittens, Jeremy?
I cannot say that I have.
Can they fly?
Yeah. Here, let me play this ad.
The flying squirrels?
Squittens. Here we go. This is the debut of this ad. And I got to say, Jeremy's going to be really disappointed about this. On the radio, this ad is going to replace the Truth, Justice, American Way.
Oh,
that Jeremy such just a shame. He gets just a glowing patriotic flush. I think it's a staph infection every time he hears that ad. But here,
yeah, flush. Yeah, I feel like I need. Yeah. I feel like I need a shower with scalding hot water.
Yeah, here you go.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bitcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bitcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bitcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bitcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bitcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bitcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bitcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bitcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bitcoin.org. That's Bitcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
Yeah.
Yeah. And voiced by the Dark Bip Lord himself.
The name of this episode is Stump the Bip Lord, and you're going to ask me some more questions. But do you know who the guest vocalist sang Not a Guarantee was?
Well, yes.
Who?
Mr. Jim Jesus, of course.
Yeah. Who actually, not a lot of people know this, he co-designed the Bitcoin logo. I had actually created the logo with a photograph of the cat that, you know, it kind of looked like a mock-up of it. And I sent it to him, and he just, like, made it better and sent it back. And it kicks butt. And I ordered 250 stickers that should be here Thursday. Yep. I did a short run of the blue Bitcoin ones. Oh, here's an interesting story about Bitcoin and the logo. So, Brian Gordon, one of the two programmers on this, his wife, Carrie, makes soap. She's like the Tyler Durden of Liberty. Well, there's more than one of them, but no, she's without all the bad connotations. She makes really nice soap that I don't know if it's available for Bitcoin yet, but it is covered by the BIPCOT no government license. I know that if you go to BIPCOT.org, it's one of the things, many things that are covered listed there. So she makes this soap, and I always send them stickers and buttons whenever I get new stuff, because you know, he's done so much for us with making Fiendbot and just being a good friend and being cool people, that people should donate, because I'm losing money on this show at this point giving away merch, but I just can't not give away merch in addition to selling it. But I think I'm only going to take Bitcoin. No, I'll take money for it. So anyway, I sent her the blue Bitcoin stickers. Now, something else people don't know is that the blue on the Bitcoin or the BIPCOT logo, which was the first draft of the Bitcoin logo, that blue, I used a color picker and took it from the United Nations logo. It is the UN blue. I stole it, and I'm going to make it good again. So she sends me this picture of her soap making supplies with the stickers laid out next to them and her gloves, like the TSA kind of gloves. You know, she wears the non-latex ones are purple. The other latex ones are some other green, I think. I forget what it is. But that's the color code. They're not really TSA gloves. They're, you know, you're color-coded of what they're made of, because some people have allergies. So most people use the purple ones anyway when they only have to buy one. So she has us laying there. There was something about either her camera or the lighting in that room that the color, the apparent color of the blue Bitcoin stickers looked a little bit purple. Not quite nearly as purple as the TSA gloves, but I looked at it and it's like, man, that's pretty cool. So I opened up the project in layers of the logo that Jim made, used the color, made another duplicate layer of the background, the blue background, which was the same UN blue as the BIPCOT logo. And tried a color picker and picked the color of slightly purple blue that the stickers looked in her photo with the soap making supplies. Mm-hmm. And tried it. I was like, that looks pretty good, but I kind of like the color of the gloves. I did the color picker on those, which were the right color in the picture. So the purple of the Bitcoin logo is exactly the color of TSA gloves, purple, and I'm taking that back. Yeah. I built that. See, that's the problem with most cryptocurrencies, you know, most altcoins, is other
they
than
don't, they don't take words back.
They're not fun. Like, they're made by programmers only. Like, every team needs three people. They need the two programmers, and then they need the Michael Dean. They need, whereas the Dogecoin was made by two guys. One, I think they're both programmers, but one of them had a sense of humor. And nerds have a sense of humor. Like, you know, the most popular dark code coin of this little galaxy of crypto note coins that we're in now is called Monero, which is actually like, has like 10 developers working part-time on it who all have day jobs, but it is actually worth something. It's worth $1.50 per coin. It's still mineable on pools. And, you know, there's a lot of improvements in it, but still the price is all speculation, because like, there are a couple, you know, like there might be a bar in Vermont that'll take Monero for, you know, two nights a week. Or, I don't know. But like, there's not like, there's the infrastructure's there, but there isn't the economy there. And like, they're kind of fun. I've listened to their podcast. They're, you know, they're goofy, happy, cool, smart guys. I offered them some audio advice. They never wrote back. Hey guys, I'm still willing to help you. But they think it's, they're kind of clever. They're more clever than some coins, but the Monero is actually the Esperanto word for money. Do you know what Esperanto is, you guys?
Yeah, it's fake language.
It's fake language. It's supposed to be didn't the take universal off. One worldy. Yeah. Yeah, it was nobody actually created it. By like, I think it was like socialists in Germany. And actually like Hitler exterminated a bunch of them because he didn't want something one worldy. He wanted one Germany worldy and Germany to be the world language. So he actually killed the guy who invented it and his family. So Monero is the name of the coin.
So it wasn't all bad then, you're saying.
Oh, because Hitler, it made Hitler kill some socialists? What are you saying?
No, because he...
That's mean.
Because the guy that did this stupid, you know, fake language... never mind. I'm sorry I said that.
Too soon.
Apparently too it was soon. A big mistake.
It's been 60 years, but...
I'm sorry.
And the other thing is, Monero's logo looks like a hockey team's logo. Like, it doesn't really look like a cryptocurrency, but they tried. Okay, so... before we stump the Bip Lord in the final segment, I do want to say that a week from tonight, whoever wants to be on the show who's a fiend, get in touch with me, because the 29th of August, 2016, do you know what that is? It's a special day.
Oh, of course. No. I'm going to miss it. Well, I don't know.
It would be Gigi Allen's 60th birthday. Can't believe our little boy, our little dead boy.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yes. Hello. Hello. With Freedom Fiends.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, Jim Alexander, that's Jim Jesus, just made me an admin of Bitcoin. Apparently there's a... Jim likes to make successful Facebook groups. I know he made that one MWD, which is me, Bad Audio Removal Service, which is pretty funny. It gets a lot of likes. People don't even know who I am or the Fiends are like it. But so we're playing Stump the Bip Lord, and you have a question, but first we'll go to our viewers. Saul Jones writes, is there a cap on the amount of Bitcoins that can be mined? I know Bitcoin had a cap of 21 million or something, but Dogecoin is infinite. Yes, Bitcoin is just a fraction of one coin under 21 million will be mined. And the Bitcoin maximum is 18 million. But we're divisible down to 12 digits. Bitcoin is only divisible down to 8. And that smallest digit of a Bitcoin is called a squitten. And you can actually send that. It's like a trillionth, 10 trillion, 100 trillionth of, a Bitcoin. You could actually send that, but it would cost you 1/1000th of a Bitcoin in fees. So
you should have a contest so that the winner of it would get their picture on a squitten.
So the thing about the cap on the limit, there being no cap on Dogecoin. Like, Dogecoin is literally worthless. There's not even a speculation value. The only value of it is that it's cool and it brought a lot of people into cryptocurrencies. And it has a pretty big market cap in the millions of dollars. But the actual price of one of their coins is like a squitten's worth of Bitcoin. Seriously, it's like Jim Jesus was mining it for a while, and it's like, you know, 100/1000th of a U.S. penny per coin or something like that.
Wow.
But because there's no cap on the top of it. So you got to cap it, man.
Yeah, that's inflation.
It's the federal... Dogecoin is the Federal Reserve of cryptocurrencies, except the Federal Reserve is far more successful economically with it than yeah, so Dogecoin.
Well, they've been at it a lot longer, so.
Yeah, so what's your question there, sir? Jeremy, you have a question?
Well, yes. Well, my question was related to the fact why I can't seem to mine any Bitcoin, because I jumped on as soon as you sent that email out earlier tagged me in the post, whatever it was. And
okay, it just cancels out when you try to, right, when you try to launch that miner.
Well, that was the problem I had with that secondary one. Like the wallet one I had running for a while, but I didn't, I tried to get in early, but nothing.
There's actually ways that you can mine on a pool with a wallet, but it's a really long, arcane bunch of commands. But there is a one-click miner for CryptoNote coins, and they have it linked on this Bitcoin mining pool, which you can go to the bitcoin.org website and click on the mine Bitcoin link. And it'll tell you all about it. So here's the problem is...
I have Windows 10. That's my first problem. Yeah,
is Windows 10 tends to mark things as viruses that aren't. In a way that Windows 10 is behaving like a virus. Because there's this Windows Smart Scan and Windows Defender and Windows Firewall. There's three things. They all try to block one-click miners because there are Bitcoin viruses that use your computer to mine without you knowing it and slow your computer way down and send the Bitcoins off to them. This is not that. This is really not a virus, but a lot of things declare that it is one. Like with me, like on Windows 7, like Avast says it's a virus, but I can turn that off or allow it for that. But in Windows 10, you've got that three-layer virus-like security. You can't turn off Windows Smart Scan without permanently deleting it, and that's even difficult. Like, Windows is like, no, we know better than you. We're not going to let you use that. You know, they are like the total nanny operating system.
It's for your own good, children.
Yeah, I mean, the real answer is what? You know, use Linux and learn the arcane commands.
I know. I was supposed to...
I'm not doing it, though. But try that at some point. Derek is. Yeah.
So yeah. I think Derek's actually going to use an ASIC, which is a specially designed mining computer that, you know, here's the thing too. Like, there's a lot of people who bought this equipment to mine Bitcoin that really, like, can no longer mine Bitcoin. You need, like, rooms full of computers to adequately mine Bitcoin anymore. So there's people that spent like $3,000, $4,000 on these dedicated mining computers that really aren't good for Bitcoin anymore, but they'd be pretty darn good for Bitcoin. So, yeah. Somebody's mining it, mining the hell out of it. There's the whole network right now, the hash rate is 24.05 kilo hashes per second. Whereas my hash rate mining on my computer, on my best computer, was 150 hash per second. But somebody altogether is mining 24,000 hash rate per second.
Well, Michael, good luck with that. And thanks, Jeremy. I will see you this coming weekend.
Yes, sir.